Good morning. Welcome to Baptist Men's Day. If you're a guest with us this morning, welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're glad to have you with us. If you've never filled out a guest card, we ask that you please do so that we have a record of your attendance. I have several announcements. Tomorrow, we ask at 9 o'clock if you're able to help out. We're going to meet at Margie Bridges' house to split wood and then take it to Camp Royale. Mandy, I believe she has some announcements for WMU.
Next Sunday will be WMU Sunday. Ladies, we need you in the choir. We will feed you next Sunday morning. There is a sign-up sheet. So men, bring your girls out to eat breakfast. The men are cooking for us, which I know doesn't happen very often. They had 38 this morning. We need to have more than 38 ladies. So y'all please sign up where the sign-up sheets usually are. And Teresa Kelly from
please be sure to read your bulletin for several other announcements and activities that may concern you. Are there any other announcements that I can help with? If not, now as we begin our worship service this morning, may we come together for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day. Please help prepare our minds and open our hearts so that we may receive and understand your word and will during this worship service. In these things we pray to our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Was that babe born in Bethlehem? They laid him in a manger. There was no room in the inn. He was born of a virgin, God's only son. The angels shouted in the night that Christ had come. Who was that man of Galilee, who made the lame to walk and caused the blind to see? He cleansed and healed the leper. He spoke with authority. He broke the chains of sin and death and set the captives free. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. Nothing's too big for my God. No, no, nothing's too big for my God. Not gonna be discouraged, not gonna be depressed. Nothing's too big for my God. He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died upon a tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. He was so much man, he was so much God, he was so much man, yet he was much more God that he rose in victory.
Okay, if everyone will stand and sing hymn number 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness, all three verses.
Thank you.
son's name we pray. Amen. I'll see y'all next week.
Good morning. We're going to go over the prayer concerns right quick. Miss Lucy Kelly, Mom and Dad went and saw her yesterday out at Parkwood and said she's doing good. Bill Bavere brought me Dot Rasko's name, and she is battling a form of cancer. We still have Justin Sharp's name on the list, and even though he's doing better, we still need to keep him lifted up. And Melissa's brother Scott is having a battle with colitis with his stomach. So. And our Sunday school class and the youth went out to the nursing home this morning for service, and that was a great service, but a lot of those people still need to be lifted up. So I'm going to go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and we thank you for this church on this Baptist Men's Day, and we thank you for all the Baptist ladies that fed us this morning, and also all the children in the church that are going to be the next Baptist men and Baptist ladies of the church. Just be with everybody on the prayer list. You know the needs, Lord, and let the miracles work through the doctors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I was shown by now God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining
as the thunder rolls. I barely hear you whisper through the rain.
I'm with you.
And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands to praise the God who gives and takes away.
And I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm.
I remember when you stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. My strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you?
And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. But I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, light you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. I'll lift my eyes onto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'll lift my eyes unto the hills. When does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am, and every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in storm. No, my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm.
Thank you, Andrew and Oscar. That was amazing. All right, we'll stand and sing first, second, and fourth verses of 615, To the Work.
Letting us all come today. Be with us as we travel home. Be with the people who need us. Please take this offering to furnish your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
As Baptist Men's Director, I'd just like to have a few words real quick before I introduce our guest speaker today. Just go over a few things. We meet every third Sunday morning at 8:30 in the Fellowship Hall. We have a breakfast. devotion and a short business meeting those Sundays. During the year, we had the Ronald McDonald Ministry, the Wild Game Dinner, a community garden. We usually have a yearly golf outing. We do church and neighborhood mission work, such as cutting firewood, which we're going to be doing tomorrow. And then yard work and painting and just any other things that come up. For those men and youth who haven't had opportunity to come before, we'd like to extend an invitation just to see what we're all about. And now our special guest, his name is Charles Towery. He goes by the name Chuck. And I'm going to just say a few little words, not take all his thunder from him. He served with the Boy Scouts of America and as a chaplain in the United States Air Force. He has pastored at two Baptist churches, and now he is with the North Carolina Baptist Retirement Homes.
Good morning. Everybody doing good today? I have had a good time already. Been here since 8:30 this morning and treated to a marvelous breakfast. And I might even come back next week. Can I do that? Y'all eat like this. That's wonderful. Wow, what a great church. Y'all do this every Sunday, the For the Lord. If you weren't tapping your foot when they were singing, you missed out. And then, guys, that was wonderful. Choir, well, y'all really belted it out. Maybe you got some extra amplification back there or something. I don't know. I've enjoyed being here today and getting to know some of y'all and impressed with your church and your staff's direction of biblical basics. I know you've been hearing a lot about that. And even this morning, it's interesting how I think the Lord has taken this message about missions this morning and sort of going to be a challenge for us in that direction that you're already going. So I'm glad to be here, and you heard a little bit about me. Grew up in Shelby, North Carolina. Had a chance to serve in the Air Force and a chaplain, some great events there. But I've met a lot of great Baptist men over the years, and you got a lot of them right here that tell the great story of missions. And this morning, I would like to work from a passage of Scripture, invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the first chapter of Matthew, which is basically a Christmas story. And we're into January, yes, I know, but we're not too far beyond Christmas. And I'm one of those that I keep that Christmas spirit going as long as I can. So I would love to look at the Christmas story for just a few minutes this morning and allow us to glean a little something from one of the characters in the Christmas story that's often neglected, Joseph. So for Matthew chapter 1, let me begin in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I ask this morning you help us to focus just now upon you. Would you remove from us those distractions that would keep us from focusing upon your voice as you speak to us just now? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a chance to preach a revival not too long ago, and as I was greeting folks at the back door, which is, you know, the way we preachers do it, everybody was coming through and making their comments, and this one little sweet lady came through and shook my hand, said, "I want to let you know that I just thought that was a very warm sermon," which I appreciated that and went on with other comments, but that comment stuck with me somehow. "Thank you for the warm sermon," she said. So on my way home, I got to thinking about, what did she mean by that? Wonder what does warm mean to this lady? That ever happened to you? So when I got home, I pulled out my dictionary and looked up the word warm. Do you know what the word warm means in the dictionary? The word warm is defined as not too hot. So I'd just like to begin by saying I appreciate it if y'all wouldn't do that to me today. It's all right. Men's Day, Baptist Men's Day. I always love those events. And that's why I want to focus this morning I guess you could call him a Baptist man, Joseph, I don't know, a neglected member of the Christmas story. And even though what we're going to be looking at today are some characteristics of a missions-minded man, just so you'll know, these are principles that apply to everybody, women too, youth, children, everybody. So just because we're calling this a missions-minded man, it's okay. Everybody's going to be able to apply these principles. Interesting thing that your church is about ready to undertake, which every church in America and the world ought to do. And that is teaching the basic biblical principles from God's Word and then encouraging, even showing ways to go and put that into practice in your family, in your work, in all of your areas of life. And I think that's the real challenge for a Baptist man, for all of us, is to apply, put into practice these teachings and principles. I like Joseph because I see that that's sort of what he did in life. We don't hear a lot about him, don't know a lot about him, but he shows us in this passage three parts of having the right attitude to being a missions-minded man. First off, hopefully you got your Bible still open, right there in verse 19. To be a missions-minded man, we must be right with God. First step, missions-minded man must be right with God. Look at verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, we learn that he did the things God wanted him to do. The King James Version tells us that Joseph was just man. And in the original language, those words mean observing the law, standing for what is right. What I'm reading, the NIV here says, Joseph is a righteous man, which again means living in a straight way, ways you know to be right. And I think that's an important principle for us as Baptist men, for all of us, is to be right with God and to live that in our everyday lives. This word living means, or this word righteous, means living the right way because you know and you do what is right. See, I think a lot of people know what is right, and they can tell you the answer, here's what I know to be right. But then going on to do that, to live that, now that might be a little different. I believe Joseph did that in caring for our Savior as he was growing up. And there's a challenge for us to both know and to do what is right. But there's also something connected in here about being right. A righteous man means that we are right with God. And so I want to focus on that just a minute this morning. I think we often think of our Christian life in terms of doing things. Very important that we do that, especially in missions. That's all about doing good things, clothing for people that need it, taking food to folks that need it, going on mission trips, doing lots of deeds and good things to help people, and that's important. A question you might ask is, if you feel really good inside after you do a lot of these good things, that might be a sign you're right with God. But after you do a lot of these good things to help people, and you still don't quite feel good on the inside, something's not quite right, that might be a signal you're not right with God the way you ought to be. And I think what it comes down to is God wants us to be more like Him. Think about this now. God wants us to be more like Him, and that will lead us to knowing how to do what He wants us to do. And we'll talk about that as we go through this morning. Being more like Christ enables us to do the right things He wants us to do. In my church, where I just came from, in First Baptist Kinston, there was a gentleman there named Jim Bailey. Jim was very active in our Baptist men's group, a wonderful Christian man, very active in the disaster relief effort here in North Carolina. And I had an opportunity to go on several mission trips with Jim. We love to do carpentry work to repair homes that had been damaged in disasters. So a few years ago, we ended up in Gulfport, Mississippi. Any of y'all ever been down there to help with Katrina? Some of y'all did that, absolutely. We went down to help as well. And one reason I really enjoyed working with Jim, I think, is because he brings moon pies to the work site. We always look forward to that first break of the day when he would break out those moon pies, and oh my goodness, it was something to behold. But the thing I'll always remember about Jim is the way he worked with people. What impacted me was on a work site, he wanted to find the family of the home we were working on. He wanted to encourage them, to pray with them. And I was very impressed by that. It'd be awful easy just to go to work and do your little job there, whatever it is. But he wanted to be sure to share the love of Jesus with those people for whom we were working. That really stuck with me. He is a perfect example, maybe the best I've seen, at taking the principles that he's learned at church and putting them into practice in his everyday life, with his family, at work, on these mission trips, in all of his life. I mean, it just became a part of who he was. That's why I say being like Christ is important. That is going to lead us to do what Christ wants us to do. That's what Jim Bailey did. He learned how to become like Christ by putting into practice these principles he learned from the church and God's Word. And that helped him to be like Christ and do what he wanted him to do. That's what a person who is right with God is like. And that's why I'm really proud of your church for undertaking this effort to put into practice those basic principles that we learn here at church. And I hope you'll really take that seriously. To be a missions-minded man or woman or anybody, that's a real key. Putting those principles to work everywhere in your life will help you to be more like Christ. When we look at Jesus' teachings, you're going to notice that he emphasized being over doing. And I'll just refer you to the Sermon on the Mount sometime when you got a minute. Read that, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He starts that talking about being. They're called the Beatitudes. And then he talks about being salt and light in the world. So I'll let you read that, but Jesus' teachings emphasize being like him, and that was more important than doing things. His desire, see, is that you spend so much time with him that you start to become like him. And everything else just comes from there. Thinking about, working on, focusing on being like Jesus, you won't have any trouble then doing whatever it is he wants you to do. So I hope you'll give that some attention in the weeks to come. Not sure that we've really thought about it in that way before. So in order to be a missions-minded man, we first must be right with God. How are you doing today? The second thing I see from Joseph here is to be a missions-minded man, we need to trust God. To be a missions-minded person, we need to trust God. Look in verse 20. After Joseph considered this, what to do about Mary, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. She will give birth, and you are to name him Jesus." And then near the end, 24, it says he woke up and did what the angel of the Lord commanded. So we see basically Joseph trusted God and did what he was telling him to do. During my time as an Air Force chaplain, I had an opportunity to be deployed a number of times. Some of you who have been in the military probably been deployed to some not so fun spaces. One opportunity when I was in Kuwait, right after the Gulf War had begun, we just had a little tent city out in the middle of the desert there. And we were in our dining tent eating lunch one afternoon. And all of a sudden, alarms going off and bombs started blowing up. And everybody ran out of the dining tent into the bunkers. Of course, we'd been well trained in how to do this, these underground bunkers to protect us from attacks. So we all exit the dining tent and go into the bunker. So I'm sitting there, about 40 other folks, and they're all looking at me. And first thing I think of is, okay, I'm the chaplain. And they're looking at me to see what kind of guidance I'm going to offer. And then I realized as I looked down that why they were looking at me was I was holding my dinner tray from the dining hall. And all the crisis and exiting, I just grabbed my tray and out to the bunker I go. Well, I think a lot of folks saw that as, this is a chaplain. He's got such much trust in his God, he's going to keep eating his lunch even during a crisis. Well, I wasn't going to tell him any different. I was very scared as well. But what the Lord did with that in the days to come was a lot of folks came to see me to talk more about eternal security. It hit them in that moment, life and death moment, they might not have been prepared for eternity. Weren't sure. If something happened, would I go to hell? Would I go to heaven? So here I am sitting there comfortable with my dinner tray, and they think I've got it together. So they come and talk to me, and I had a wonderful opportunity to minister to a lot of folks because of that. Was I scared? Oh, yeah. But that trust in the Lord enabled him to use that to minister to them. You never know what can happen when you choose to place your trust in God. Don't worry about setting things up or figuring things out. We spend way too much time on that kind of stuff. Especially things we can't control. What in the world are we doing wasting all this time trying to figure this stuff out? Forget that mess. Just trust in God and let Him handle that. Joseph did that. His situation here with Mary, out of his control, really. She's pregnant. He knew he didn't do it. What am I going to do? He thought about some things, but in the end, he trusted God and did the right thing. It was like God was saying, "Don't worry, Joseph. I'm in this. Trust me. Just trust me, Joseph." And he did. Let me tell you about another man I know who is good at taking the basic principles he learned at church and putting them into practice in his family, in his work, in his daily life. There's a guy named Bill Mason. Fairly young man. Has a very unique ability to show trust in God. He was quite an example to those of us who got to know him, because whenever he was facing a tough situation, instead of acting like the rest of us and complaining about how bad things are and why is this happening to me, he would say something like, "This is just another opportunity, folks, for God to show His glory." I couldn't believe that. I never heard people talk like that before. I mean, really talk like that. "Hey, don't worry about this, fellas. We're going to watch God in this situation. It's just an opportunity for Him to show His glory. And when He answers my prayers, the way He wants to, that's going to be just another reason for me to praise Him. I like that attitude. And somehow, I mean, he really lived this. He trusted God completely. And you could see it. Whatever he learned from church or the teachings of the Scriptures, and how he put that into practice in his own family, in his home, in his work, in his life, it was evidence, y'all, that he really trusted God. So I'm encouraging all of us to do the very same thing. When we do that, that helps us to become more like Christ, so that then we can do those things he wants us to do. So we're talking about a mission-minded man. It's important that we learn to be right with God, and that, as we've just seen, we need to trust God. But there's a third thing. To be a missions-minded man, we need to care for other people. We need to care for others. In verse 24, it tells us Joseph woke up from his dream and did what the Lord commanded and took Mary home as his wife. And as we learn little snippets of Joseph in Scripture, we see how he took care of Mary and his son Jesus and doing whatever the Lord wanted him to do. And caring for others is still an important part of being a mission-minded person. When we look at the life of Joseph, we see how he did that. He must have provided for their needs, food to eat, place to stay. But he also went beyond that, gentlemen, not just the basic physical needs of providing, but caring for the needs of those members of his family. He was sensitive to their needs. That makes a difference. He comforted Mary in times of distress. A missions-minded man is going to do that. Yeah, he's going to provide for whatever the basic needs are, but he's going to go beyond that and care about what else they need. Through my work in the Baptist retirement homes, I have gotten to know a gentleman named John Tote. John worked for the Mental Health Association of North Carolina for more than 30 years. I went to college with John. I've known him a good long time. But he's very active in his Baptist men's group. And he's one of the most caring people that I know. And one thing that really sets him apart from anybody else is his calm and peaceful presence. Do you know somebody like this? Especially in a crisis situation or when things are really tough and coming apart. You know somebody that's just calm and relaxed and at peace through those difficult times? How are they able to do that? I think it's because, like Joseph, they had the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding their life, giving them direction. And they listened to it and followed it. And I think that's what my friend John learned to do. What he learned in church, what he learned from the teachings of God's Word, he put into practice in his life. And it helped him to be a calming, relaxing, peaceful kind of a presence in wherever the situations he found himself. And here again is the real key. Taking what you know about Christ, seeking to be more like him, putting that into practice in your everyday life. How are you doing in caring for people in your life today? If you're honest, would you say you complain more about some of those people? Or do you do things to care more about those people? Be honest with that. Caring person is necessary to be a missions-minded man. Came across a funny little story about a 6-year-old girl who was wanting to care for her mother, who had been sick for a few days. Mother was had gone to bed and was resting for the day. And the little 6-year-old girl thought, Mama always fixes me hot tea when I'm sick. I'm going to fix Mama some hot tea. So she goes in the kitchen, boils the water, puts the tea bag in, strains it in the cup, takes it into Mama, squeezes a little lemon in it, just like Mama does. And Mama is so thankful and pleased that her little daughter has done this act of caring for her. Then it hits Mama. To make this tea, she had to boil some water. That's going to be hot. I maybe ought to ask a few questions to my little six-year-old. And the six-year-old told her, yes, I put the water in the pot, and I boiled it, and I put the tea bag in, and then I got strained it out and put it in a cup, put a lemon in it, just like you do. Mama started thinking a minute, my strainer is way up in the top cabinet. Honey, what did you use to strain this tea? And so the little girl said, oh, I used the fly swatter. And then seeing the horror look on Mama's face, she said, oh, no, no, I didn't use the new one. I used the old one. Well, hey, at least she was showing how much she cared, right? I think many of you do that as well. We do pretty well sometimes in caring for others. But our attitude needs to be not so people are going to say, wow, that Chuck's such a super nice guy. Nope. But people would say, the Lord, I'm going to give glory to the Lord because he's using this person or that church or that family to show care for others. I think the principle here that's at work in all of these factors is the one about what matters to God should be what matters to us. I might say it this way. We should make what matters to God more important than what matters to us. And then when we seek to be right with God, to trust in God, to care for others who God cares for, we need to make then what matters to God more important than what matters to us and put that into practice in our lives. So the search is going to be over the next several weeks and months, ladies and gentlemen, finding out what matters to God. Through the study of God's Word, what the teachings you're going to learn about right here at your church, you're going to get a sense about what really matters to God, what's important. Then you take that and put it into practice every day in your family, in your home, at work, wherever. And watch how the Lord will use that to bless this community, to bless this church, to glorify His name. Missions-minded man, and I'm not really talking about just a man, but it's a person who's right with God, who trusts God, and who cares for others. Let me close with a short little story. I have an older brother who, when he was growing up, had a tough time with the dark and going to bed at night in the dark. And so my mom used to try to help him out and say, look, honey, it's just like Jesus is going back to bed with you. Just take Jesus. He's everywhere in this house, okay? So just take Jesus with you when you go from this room to that room, and he's there, and it'll help in the darkness. Well, night after night, he'd go down the hall, and he'd pass the bedroom door, first room, past the bathroom. Then before he got in his room, he'd come running back in. It's too dark. And they were patient with it. After a few nights, he finally made it back to himself, back to the bedroom himself. And then after a few weeks, he was starting to do good. It was a stormy night, and it was thundering, lightning. And little Joe started down the hall, and Mom said, oh, this weather pretty bad. I don't think he's going to make it. Got past the first door, got past the bathroom door, got right outside of his door and turned around. And she thought, oh, here he comes. But instead, he just turned around and said, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Boy, that's such a powerful message. Because that's what we got to do. When we walk out of this church, get in our car, and leave this property, we need to say, and if you have to say it out loud, say it, come on, Jesus. Take him with you from this property, from that Sunday school room, from this worship center. Take him with you wherever you go. That's what it takes to be a missions-minded man. Will you do it? Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful for this church, for how you're using and blessing this church. I pray that continues. In these next few moments, as we sing our final song, there may be somebody here who does not know you as personal Lord and Savior. What a great day, Lord, for them to come forward in a moment and announce that to this church. Confess their sins and accept you to be saved. Maybe there's someone here today looking for a church home. and you might touch that heart. And as we sing this hymn in a moment, compel them to come forward and say, I'd like to be a part of this wonderful church and its ministry. Maybe there's somebody here today that just been thinking and might want to just rededicate their life, make a recommitment to be more of a missions-minded person, to work on these things that the Scriptures talked about. And if that's the case, Lord, if you choose to ask them to come forward and to share that concern with Pastor Gary, please do so. Right where you are, folks, you can just make that commitment as well. I just pray, Lord, you would touch us now as we conclude this service. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. The final hymn is number 613, the Servant Song. As we sing this, Gary will be at the front. I invite you to respond. May we stand.
We are travelers on a journey, fellow pilgrims on the road. We are here to help each other walk a mile and bear the load. I will walk as I
the congregation to be seated for just a moment. For the last several months, we've been blessed by having Justin and Ashley Guarto come and be a part of our church family and Savannah. And today, they come feeling God is leading them to unite with our church. Justin comes on the promise of a letter from Lowe's Grove Baptist Church in Durham, and Ashley comes today professing Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior, and upon her baptism would like to become a member of our church. And I'm telling you, it's a package deal, so we're going to do it as a package deal. If you would join, I need a motion that we accept them into our church family. Do I hear a motion? Y'all are getting better at that. One of these days, I'm going to have everybody in this church making that motion. But you're getting better. And all those, we don't need a second. If you would join me in welcoming them to our congregation, would you do so by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Ashley, we're going to try to be the church so you can be the mom and the wife and the member of this congregation that you need to be. And Justin, we're going to be that church. And y'all are going to help us be a better church. We're so excited that God has led you to this place. I'll invite you to stand with me. Today the Lord has spoken loudly and clearly. Chuck, thank you for being God's mouthpiece for us today. And that message, what a powerful message. What a wonderful challenge for us to leave this place as mission-minded folks. I thank you for all that we are. And I'm grateful that God is continuing to work in our midst. And I'm excited what is next. Thank you again for being here. Did somebody have a, see, I did this wrong one time. Did somebody have a closing prayer, or is it me? Because you had it one time and I did it. But it's me this time, right? I got it. Okay, very good. I learned from my mistakes. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you go with us from this place, reminding us that when we're righteous, that when we're obedient, when we are caring and following what you are about, when we are like you, then we do what you do. Thank you for the message. Thank you for Joseph and his life lesson for us. Thank you for the men of our church that lead us in so many ways. Thank you for the ministry that we're able to accomplish together here at Flat Springs and for 108 years being a beacon in this community. Go with us now as we celebrate Justin and Ashley coming to be a part of our church family. May we continue to reach out and share the good news with all in this community and around your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.